Hi, and welcome again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guest is someone I'm really excited about. I mean, this guy has, like, influenced my childhood, my adulthood, basically most of my life. I want to say thank you off the start. This is Mr. George Lucas here.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you. Pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
I can't believe you made it out here. It's like, I know you're all the way on the West Coast. What brings you to New York?
Well, you know, now that I've sold everything off to Disney, I really just have money to burn, so I just was kind of walking around block by block throughout the city and trying to find new characters for a new universe I'm building.
Oh, new universe. You have recently said that you've been in semi-retirement. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to, like, get out of retirement? Are you bored?
Well, I guess in a way, yes, I am bored, but I'm also trying to catch up on really, like, some of the movie titles that I've had in my lives. So, you know, my first seminal film was American Graffiti.
Yes. So I'm actually, you had THX before that, but American Graffiti, right, was your first world released film.
Right. So I figured I might as well come to New York City and check out all the graffiti.
Oh, you're going around looking at graffiti?
Yes.
So you're kind of going to your roots there.
Yeah, sort of. Just kind of.
Where do you find the best graffiti in the city?
Ah, I see. Well, there's really, you can find it anywhere. I like to look at freight train lines, find the freight train lines. No, there's not that many of them in the city.
I was about to say, you kind of have to go, like, into Long Island to see more freight trains.
Right, Long Island, New Jersey, you know, catch those. I like to go to just various places. I love to take the 7 train and see all the graffiti on the rooftops as you go through.
Now, what does this graffiti inspire, you feel?
Well, for me, it really inspires my characters.
Your characters?
My characters that I write, that I try to bring to life, that I know a lot of Philistines have never appreciated certain seminal characters.
Oh, seminal characters.
That completely describe the human condition.
Okay. You know? How do you see the human condition? What characters have you created that you feel embody the human condition?
I'm glad you asked that question. Well, you see, some of the human condition is best exemplified by someone like Chewbacca.
Oh, Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, indeed.
Big fan favorite.
Yes.
People love Chewbacca.
Absolutely. And he embodies the human condition because he's constantly trying to communicate, and there is no one there that understands him except his buddy, his pal, his one soulmate, if you will.
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Is that where Han Solo came from? Han Soulmate?
Kind of, but except we made it the Han Solo Mate, yes.
Oh, okay.
We dropped the mate. That was his parents' married name, Solo Mate.
Oh, okay.
But we decided
to
cut that.
So it was hyphenated?
Yes, and yes, yes, but we decided to cut that.
A little confusing.
Yeah, a little bit, yes, indeed.
Okay.
Indeed. Yeah, because the problem was people didn't know if it was Solo Mate or if it was Solo Mate,
okay,
like a martial arts match. You know?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you say Chewbacca embodies the human condition.
Yes.
Why did you choose a character that wasn't human, he's a Wookiee, to embody the human condition?
Well, it's a little bit of my philosophy about self-awareness, you know. My movies are just the best movies ever, and my characters are the best characters
your
ever.
Your movies are the best movies ever. Now, when you say your movies, do you mean the movies you direct or the movies that you write?
Pick one.
Well, there's a difference, because, I mean, you directed some of the Star Wars films.
Mm-hmm.
You directed the prequel trilogy and the original
brilliant
Star Wars A New Hope.
Yes, brilliant.
But after A New Hope, You didn't direct Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back.
Correct.
Do you consider those still your movies, even though you only wrote on them?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now,
It was my universe, if you will.
Okay, so every film that's in your universe is your movie?
Sure.
Even, like, The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Rogue One? Yeah.
Well, you know, Disney took it over. I mean, isn't my universe
for
anymore?
For our listeners out there, George Lucas sold his production company Lucasfilm in 2012,
yes,
and now it's owned by Disney. So all Star Wars properties that are made now are made by Disney.
Yes, yes. Yes, I don't know necessarily if Rogue One is as good, simply because I didn't write it. But, I mean, the prequels, Jar Jar Binks. I mean, has there ever been a more fully developed monk of the human condition than Jar Jar Binks?
Okay, here we go. I wasn't going to lead you into Jar Jar Binks, but now that you've brought him up, you caught a lot of flack for him.
Yes.
People said it felt like a modern-day minstrel show, that, like, you were making fun of slavery.
Okay.
And you kind of almost phased him out in the second two movies, too. He didn't take as much of a prominent role. Can you explain your thoughts behind that?
Yes, certainly. What most people don't realize is Jar Jar is actually a Sith.
He's actually a Sith.
Jar Jar is actually a Sith. And he was...
For our listeners out there that aren't Star Wars fans, Siths are the bad characters in the Star Wars universe. I mean, you're going to have a lot to catch up on if you don't listen to Star Wars. There's a lot of terminology going on here.
Yes, yes. So Jar Jar was a Sith, and he basically was put in place to kind of bumblingly guide our heroes, if you will, into the situations that they had to go into.
So he almost like set them up, you'd say?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you make that more transparent? Why would you put it under the guise of this just like idiotic character that talks like, you know, he's from a minstrel show from 1910, you know?
Well, I mean, if you look at it closely, it's actually kind of brilliant, because how could possibly one so bumbling just defeat an entire droid army and lead to the buildup of the clones?
I mean, I guess, but it's also, I don't know, it just came off offensive to a lot of people.
I know a lot of, well, I mean, part of it was I just went along with what the actor was trying to do, and I liked what he was doing. And also, what better way than to be a bumbling fool than to disguise the master spy?
Okay, then why phase him out? Why, if he was this master spy, why wasn't he in, like, he was in Attack of the Clones, but, like, Revenge of the Sith, he was barely in there at all.
Right. I'm glad you asked that question. You see, I had a long-term plan. There was going to be a pre-prequel, which shows Jar Jar teaching Palpatine everything he knows.
So wait, so Jar Jar was going to have his own, like, between, or before Phantom Menace, it would have been, like, an origin story?
Yes, yes, correct.
Would it be
a lot of people say Darth Plagueis, because that was, like, the book.
Okay.
Darth Plagueis is the teacher of Darth Sidious, but it was actually Darth Blankus. Which is Jar Jar Binks, so, okay. You know, just a little change there. Darth Blankus was actually Darth Plagueis' master, and he was just there to guide along the plan.
Would we have seen Jar Jar Binks with a lightsaber?
Yes, yes.
What would his fighting style would have been like?
Well, I personally, being a expert in Wushu, I would have probably guided him that way.
Now, would he be a formidable opponent? Would we have seen Jar Jar Binks, say, versus Yoda?
I think if Yoda had faced Jar Jar, a lot of the movies would have ended. It wouldn't have been fair, because Yoda would have been no match for Jar Jar.
Jar Jar was that formidable
opponent.
Wow.
Yes.
So why not just tell the audience this, like, right off the bat? Like, there was plenty of times where you could have just, like, inserted, like, this kind of fake out to the audience where it'd been like, even just a little him receiving a transmission or something.
Well, you see, before I sold Lucasfilm, the greatest movie production company ever made, to Disney, so-so production company.
Disney's so-so production company?
So-so. It's very pedestrian.
Yes. They seem to be killing it in the film market these days.
Well, that's because they bought Lucasfilm.
Yes,
and because they kind of bought Marvel, too. I mean, give some credit to Marvel.
Look at all of the Marvel films. They just print money.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I mean,
goes to show Disney wasn't able to do that before. I mean, the cartoon, great, but then they have to buy Marvel, they have to buy Lucasfilm to make money.
Disney's been profiting off you a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Because little known fact, you used to own the company that became Pixar.
Right.
Yeah, you used to own a graphics group, which made a lot of special effects. Then it was eventually purchased by Steve Jobs.
Right.
In the 80s, and then became Pixar.
Correct.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel like, I feel pride, because, again, it was my grand vision that kind of helped this, you know. I don't like to take too much credit for these things, but it was my grand vision that enabled these wonderful cartoons to be made.
I mean, do you feel like you kind of missed out on that money?
No.
Because Pixar, they're the most successful animation studio by far right now.
Yes, yes. I don't want to divulge all the contractual, like, details, but there is a little kickback.
When you first saw Pixar's first movie, Toy Story, what feeling was coming through you?
There was pride and more than a little bit of rage.
Rage?
Yes, yes.
Now, how did you, like, take that rage? Because you were still working on Star Wars back then.
Yes.
Do you feel like it influenced your artwork?
It did. Pixar getting picked up probably directly led to Darth Vader losing his hand in Return of the Jedi.
In Return of the Jedi, okay.
Yes, yes.
Because
there was so much anger built in me, like a young Luke Skywalker.
I mean, at the time, it seemed like a good deal for you, you know? Like, the creator of Apple Computers being like, hey, I'm looking to branch out, maybe start a new business. Because this is when Steve Jobs had left Apple.
Right,
so,
right.
He was trying to start a new thing. But it became Disney and, like a Disney property.
Mm.
So, I mean, you were working on the prequels then, and you could have, like, I mean, the animation in the prequels is superb. It still kind of holds up today, which is crazy because they came out in the 90s.
Sure.
But I would have been furious, like, to know that I missed out on the next wave of movies.
You know, when you've been in the business as long as I have, you learn there are certain things like win some, lose some. And in this case, it was lose some. And that's kind of why the Gungans had to suffer.
Why the Gungans had to suffer.
Yes.
So were the Gungans almost like your representation of Disney?
No, the Gungans were more like my representation of my advisors and law team, who told me to, despite my protest, to sell off the group that became Pixar.
But yeah, no, definitely influenced your career. I've seen that you've tried to actually return to animation in your recent filmmaking. You tried to, in 2015, you had an animated picture released that was actually done at Skywalker Ranch, where you reside right now.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really get a wide release. I mean, would you consider, like, going into animation full force, or?
Well, I think there are a lot of stories to be told still, and I don't think I've run out of stories to speak of yet. So, animation, I find animation is a lot more forgiving, because I don't have, you know, actors throwing hissy fits about certain conditions on set. And I mean, there's Harrison, God bless him, but, you know, he's a little bit long in the tooth to be doing stunts, and he broke his foot on the set of Episode 7. And
yeah, I mean, he's getting himself into loads of trouble in his older age.
Yes. Luckily, he survived that plane crash.
He's a national treasure when it comes to acting.
Certainly.
Now, you say that you want a return to directing. You have more stories to tell. Now, what stories do you have in store for us? I mean, can you give us a little bit of a flavor of where you think, like, your next creative step is going?
Without giving away too much, Aaron, you know, I want to make sure my legion of fans is fully aware of my ideas to follow through with some of these worlds that I am building. The next one, I am starting basically a world in a universe, a parallel universe, not quite far away because it is parallel, and about a young woman who is living with her relatives. And you find out that her mother was this great warrior, and she wants to follow in her footsteps and battle the oppressive regime that dominates in that universe.
This sounds a lot like Star Wars, only with a woman instead of a man.
No. It's nothing like Star Wars. First of all, it's a parallel universe, not a galaxy far, far away.
Okay.
And it's parallel, so it's fairly close.
When you say parallel universe, is it contemporary? Is it modern day and not, like, futuristic, or...?
Well... It's in outer space, so it's not it's
oh, so
not
it is Earth another based. It is another space opera.
Yes, it is another space opera, but like completely different from Star Wars. Like I said, it's a young woman who lives with her grandmother and her grandmother's brother, and she works in a on a sand farm. They live on a jungle world, and they mine for sand because everything is so wet. They need to kind of keep themselves dry from getting like too much wet rot. And there's a kooky old woman that lives in a cave nearby, and she introduces her to her weapon, which is like a bolo whip, but it's energized. And then what she finds out is that her mother was a great, great warrior for peace before this evil government took over their universe, and the kooky old lady, I called her... Well, I don't want to give up too much.
No, go on. I'm sure our audience is, like, at the edge of their seat. This sounds like a massive undertaking.
The kooky old woman you find out is actually a wise old woman, and her name is Barbara.
Barbara?
Barbara. Right.
Barbara what?
Well, Barbara Candle.
Candle Obi?
Yes. Barbara Candle Obi is her name, and... she teaches young Lucinda how to use this energy bolo whip.
Energy bolo whip?
Yes, indeed.
What is it energized by?
It's another universe. So they've been able to harness 0-point energy, aka dark matter, and that's what this bolo whip is energized by.
Now, are you afraid that Disney might, like, come back at you? Because you sold them Lucasfilms, and this seems to be heavily influenced by the Star Wars, or at least draw a lot of influence from the Star Wars universe.
Well, I mean, first of all, I disagree. I don't think it's heavily influenced by Star Wars at all. On one hand. On the other hand, what isn't influenced by Star Wars? I mean, honestly, you know, flyers, robots, androids, iPods, all of these things are influenced by Star Wars.
You think that the iPhone was influenced by Star Wars?
Certainly. The iPhone is just a smaller R2-D2 that you stick in your pocket.
Now, do you feel like that's another thing that, like, Steve Jobs took away from you?
Absolutely. The thieving bastard may rot in hell. But, I mean, it's, like I said, easily... this new universe is going to surpass everything else when you see brave young Lucinda go forth into the universe.
And Lucinda, what's her last name?
Lucinda Junglefarer.
Junglefarer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Lucinda Junglefarer.
Lucinda Junglefarer.
With her matter superpower whip.
Yes, yes. Her dark energy bolo whip.
Trained by Barbara Candle Obi.
Barbara Candle Obi.
Okay.
Which she lovingly refers to as Babs.
Babs.
Babs, yes.
Babs. Old Babs?
Old Babs.
Old Babs.
Old Babs. That's what's originally there. No, the kooky woman is known as Old Babs. And then she finds out her full name is Barbara Candle Obi.
Now, you can only judge a movie by how good its villain is.
Mm.
Who is the baddie from this film that you are creating this very intricate universe for?
Ah. Well, this isn't just your run-of-the-mill villain. This villain is very, very dark, a very big, imposing figure, a very robust, healthy, no problems, and his name is Garth Bruder.
Garth Bruder?
Yes, yes.
What made you come up with the name Garth?
I don't know. to be fair, I am a big fan of Garth Brooks, and I like his music a lot, and some of it is very dark. And I thought some of his songs really bring out, like, an evil other universe villain. And I thought,
So is this villain inspired by country music? Is this our first country music villain?
No, I wouldn't do such a thing. I mean, country music is a treasure. It's American cultural icon. I wouldn't do that. This is just Garth Bruder, and he's just very much kind of... he's a very Shakespearean villain, a la Iago. Or, you know, he's a little bit behind the scenes. But then when he is exposed, you can really see the wrath of Garth Bruder.
Now does he have, like, an army? I mean, is he more, like, is this a political villain? Or is this more of, like, a very strong, can destroy everything, like, Marvel-type villain?
Ah, I'm glad you asked. We're still kind of working out the kinks on that. But he's kind of like a wealthy landowner that has a lot of political pull and prefers to work things from behind the scenes. But when you confront him, you feel the full wrath.
Now you say landowner. You did say that this is a space opera.
Certainly.
Well, how does one possess land in...
Oh, he owns planets.
He owns planets?
Yes. Yes, correct.
What is his company called? I mean, is it a real estate company or is it like a nation?
Well, he has at least 24 planets in 3 different sectors. And then he has tons of moons and asteroids that he mines through his company, which is called Bruderbound.
Bruderbound.
Bruderbound, yes. And it's a big real estate company in this parallel universe. And that's where he gets a lot of his political influence and wealth from.
Political influence and wealth. All right. So what is the name of this film? I mean, you've created this expansive universe.
Mm.
You got your hero. You got your villain. Mm. You got your characters. What are you going to call this thing?
You know, I still haven't thought quite through what I would call this thing. Almost, I don't know, maybe like... Dark Universe.
Dark Universe.
Or maybe, like, Universe Wars.
Universe Wars.
Mm.
That like.
Or maybe even, like, Energy. Star Energy. Star Energy. That, you know what? I'm liking Star Energy.
Star Energy. That's eerily similar to your previous franchise, Star Wars. But, you know,
It's completely different. I don't know what you're talking about.
That is a battle to fight in the courts once this thing's released. Or do you have a production team set for this?
Not yet. I'm calling some top people.
Now, would you direct it or are you just a writer?
I will write and direct. Much like with Star Wars, to properly build this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I can hand the reins over to somebody else.
Now, I know all writers have, like, some actor in mind for their leading roles. Mm. Do you have anyone that you're thinking of?
For the role of Babs,
mm-hmm.
I really couldn't think of anybody better than Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand.
Yes. And Garth Bruder. I'm a little bit torn between Hugh Jackman and Hulk Hogan. Not
Hulk
sure.
Hogan. Yes. Return to film for the Hulkster himself.
Yes. Because he does kind of look with the mustache like very much like a wealthy landowner.
I mean, that,
big and powerful.
I'm getting excited for this. Okay. You had me thrown at first that like this might be a Star Wars ripoff. But now Barbara Streisand, Academy Award winner.
Sure.
And then you got Hulk Hogan, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Correct. Correct.
Who's our leading lady?
We really, really, really would like to get Miley Cyrus to be Lucinda.
Miley Cyrus.
But we're in negotiation. We're not sure. We're not sure if that's quite the right way to go to make it a PG-friendly kind of movie.
Oh, really? I mean, she was a Disney Channel star.
She was. She was. But in the end... I mean, my second favorite would be Lark Voorhees, if we could get her.
Lark Voorhees. I'm unfamiliar.
Lark Voorhees was on Saved by the Bell.
Oh.
Yes.
Who did she play on Saved by the Bell?
I forget the character's name now, but she was the pretty young African-American woman.
Oh, okay. Yes. I mean, Saved by the Bell was back in the 90s. You think she's a little old for this role now?
Yes, but you know, we can do wonders with CGI. I mean,
you would like CGI, like age them or unage them?
Correct. I mean, it all depends how the read goes.
Okay.
I mean, I was thinking of going with a completely original idea and just getting all the lead actors in a room and have them read together and see how their chemistry goes.
All right. Well, yeah. I'm excited to see where this project takes you. It sounds like a return to form for Mr. Lucas himself. Now, if you don't mind, I want to go into a few speed round questions.
Sure, certainly.
All right. Are you familiar with the game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
No.
Basically, I'm going to name three names, and you tell me which one you would put into each category, which one you would fuck, which one you would marry, and which one you would like to see dead.
Ah, very good.
So, the three names are
mm-hmm.
Steven Spielberg,
mm-hmm.
J.J. Abrams,
mm-hmm.
and Harrison Ford.
Ah, that is a tough one. Let's see. So, each one has to fit a certain category?
Or
kill them all off? Or
would you want to kill them all off?
No, but I'm just asking for example-wise, yeah. Okay, so...
I mean, really, where in your heart would you place these three?
Okay. Marry J.J.
Oh.
Yes.
You marry young.
Yes, right. I mean, you want a nice piece of eye candy there, and I mean, it's almost like looking into a mirror 30 years ago. I'd marry J.J., I'd fuck Steven and kill Harrison.
Kill Harrison? Yes. Oh, that's unfortunate. I mean, Disney already kind of killed him.
This is true.
Spoilers for anyone that hasn't watched The Force Awakens. I apologize, but it's been out for 2 years
now. 2 years, yeah. So yeah, that would be it. I would marry JJ, fuck Steven, and kill Harrison.
All right. Next, we're going to go into a little bit of word association. Mm. Basically, I'm going to say a word. You tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Certainly.
All right. Whip.
Lucinda.
Light.
Dark.
Dark.
Pillow.
Blaster.
Master.
Zoom.
Focus.
Trek.
Star.
Space.
Home.
Toys.
Adult activities.
Disney.
Bastards.
All right, well, that's all we have time for today. Mr. Lucas, would you have anything last to say to our fans before you leave?
Yes, the catchphrase for the new movie will be, "May the energy be with you."
All right, may the energy be with you. I'd like to thank you guys all for listening, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you again for listening. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having George Lucas here, it has been my good friend Tomo Loverick.
How you doing, folks? Glad to be here, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Tomo, you got anything to plug for our fans?
I also actually have a podcast if you guys want to tune in and listen to what's going on here. You can find it on iTunes and all the other platforms.
You want to tell our fans a little bit about what's going on here?
Oh, sure. Our podcast is me and my partner, Sean Quigley. What we do is we watch a little-known movie or TV show that people haven't heard of. Most of the time, it's a foreign language show. And then we watch the middle 20 minutes of it, turn off any subtitles so we don't know what's going on, and then we try to decipher what's going on. And at the same time, we review local mom-and-pop eateries, and we review beers and various brews.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right. I'd just like to thank our theme music is from the artist Regulus. It's his song, Yarning. You can go find him on SoundCloud. Also, I'd like to urge you guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps the podcast with visibility, helps more people find the show, and helps us keep bringing what we've been bringing to you. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you guys next time.